The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. It's Sunday, and you're joining We the People Talk Radio. As always, we are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. You are listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I'm Elizabeth Woodward. My co-host, Erin Ryan, is unfortunately under the weather this morning, so we hope that she'll be tuning in, and she's all cuddled up in her blankets and propped up by her pillows. She works hard, and sometimes things catch up with you this time of year. Bob Martin is our sound engineer. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Got some great music for us this week?
I do.
Good, good. Well, we're going to kind of slide right into our presentation today. As we know, the legislative session is currently in progress, and a lot of bills are being passed. We're all aware of some of the things coming down the pike with health care and things that are going to affect our daily lives and those that we love. And senior care is a big part of that. The baby boomers are the largest segment of our population. And as we look ahead, we know that there are a lot of things that we're going to need to have in place in order to live out that part of our life gracefully and in a healthy way. And we've got some guests here this morning that were on the show early in the summer. I unfortunately missed that show because I was on a road trip with my husband, and I'm glad that these folks are back because they've got some really important information and some updates on some bills that have come down the pike on senior care and in-home care. And what I'm going to do is segue right into letting our guests introduce themselves. They're going to tell you a little bit about who they are, what they do, and what the future looks like. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jim Robinson. I own Senior Helpers, and we provide in-home non-medical care, primarily for the senior community, but for really for anybody who needs assistance with activities of daily living. So we do kind of two levels of care. There's companion care, which is companionship, light housekeeping, meal preparation, medicine reminders, transportation assistance, laundry, linen, basic things around the house. And then we provide personal care for those that need it, which would be bathing, dressing, transfer and ambulation assistance, toileting, incontinent care, and Alzheimer's and dementia care. And we do it anywhere from 3 hours one day a week up to 24/7. Our senior community very often reaches a stage in their life when they just can't do it themselves, and we bridge the gap from the time that they can no longer live alone at home without help, but really don't want to move into assisted living. So that's kind of where we go. So I'll turn it over to Rhonda.
Okay. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Robertson with Interim Homestyles Personal Care and Support Service Business Development Manager. We do the same as senior helpers. We do as little as a one-hour visit, depending on the location of the client. And we actually service all the way up to Weed and Yreka. We have a Medford office, but they cannot come into California. So
now, why is that?
It's because they're licensed in California.
Okay.
Yeah.
You two have similar services.
We kind of compete with each other.
Okay.
But
you're on the same team.
We're on the same
team. Same side.
We there's enough business out there for all of us.
Yeah.
And we all have the same goal, and that's to provide excellent care for the senior community. And we're both fine with regulation and oversight as long as it's reasonable. That's really worth it.
You know, and I kind of think that's probably the case for most people that are reasonable. It isn't that you don't have some government and some regulation, but it does need to be reasonable. I mean, that's a perfect way to describe it.
And honestly, the good agencies that are out there, like ours, and there are others in town, we do what the regulations typically would require without oversight. We do criminal background checks. We do multi-state criminal background checks. We do DMV screens. We do personal professional reference checks. We hire experienced caregivers. We provide additional training for those caregivers. So we're trying to provide the best level of care that we can. And it's our best in our best interest to do so, both from a liability standpoint.
Absolutely.
As well as from a business standpoint, wanting to be the best that we can be.
Well, and the free market would take care of that, because if you were not taking those precautions and those steps and it affected the people that you were caring for, you wouldn't have the business.
Right. And in reality, the abuse doesn't take place through agencies. I mean, certainly there's some bad apples out there. There's no question about it. They're always going to be. And even with regulation, you're going to find that. The problem you run into with seniors being taken advantage of is through private caregivers who are not working for an agency, who are working directly for the senior or the senior's family, and they are, even under any of the legislation that we're going to talk about today, they're still going to do what they do, and there's not enough resources for the state of California to go after these people.
Right, and don't you also see that with family members as well sometimes?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we're mandated reporters, so when we see that, we actually are by law required to notify Adult Protective Services, and we've both done that.
Yeah, I had just recently been speaking with somebody about the fact that a lot of times in this economy now, people are hiring their own loved, you know, their own family members, their grandson, their granddaughter,
right,
to provide care to their, you know, to their loved one. And they also are hiring private. Well, when you hire an agency in, even if it's just to fill in the gaps, if their private caregiver's sick or their family member's sick and they need somebody, they can call our agency and we can send somebody right away. It's another set of eyes in the home.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
And on that note, too, when you're hiring a private caregiver, there's some issues that the senior community and their family needs to be aware of. There's no liability insurance. So if that caregiver steals from them, there's no recourse. The thing I worry the most about, though, is workers' compensation insurance. We carry it by law. We have to. We're employers. And if the caregiver is injured on the job, she's covered through our workers' compensation policy. If you hire somebody directly and they're not, if you're a homeowner, you may or may not have coverage. You have to check with your insurance agent. But I will guarantee you, if you have coverage, it's going to be limited. And if you have a claim, expect your insurance rates to go through the roof the next time the policy renews.
Yeah, and I think that's the case anymore with anything. Anybody that steps onto your property almost has to have their own insurance.
Right. So, well, and that's a whole different issue.
Yeah, it is. We won't go there. Now, before we take our first break, what are the stats in terms of this particular area, Shasta County, if you will, in terms of those that have a need for your care?
Wow, I'm not sure if
any numbers?
I don't know that I have any numbers on that.
Okay, a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Because this is a retirement community.
Yeah, and yes, it is. And so there are probably percentage-wise more seniors here than there may be in some other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. For example, in San Francisco, because of the cost of living, very often when they reach retirement age, they're out of the city. So people coming here, there's a disproportionately higher number of seniors than there would be in some of the metropolitan markets.
Now, do most insurance coverage insurance policies cover what you do, or is this an out-of-pocket expense for seniors?
Well, it's usually an out-of-pocket expense. There are some long-term insurance policies that, if they were fortunate enough to purchase one, would cover, and they cover what they call two out of five ADLs, which is activities of daily living, like bathing, dressing, transfer assistance, those types of things. So they have to reach, you know, meet that criteria. Also, there's for veterans, there's an aides and attendance pension that some may qualify for as well. A lot of that is income based, and so then they have to,
And would you say that most of your clients are people that primarily want to remain in their own home, or are these folks that can't afford to go into assisted living?
No, it's they want to stay in their own home.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a cost issue, but an issue of wanting to remain.
Right. I mean, you reach a certain point with our care that it's going to be more cost effective to move into an assisted living facility.
Okay.
Depending upon the facility, the level of care, you know, the number of hours may be 30 to 40 to 50 hours a week worth of our care. And at that point, if it goes beyond that, then it's more cost effective. That doesn't mean that they really want to or need to, but it's part of the decision-making process. People make a decision to move into assisted living for four reasons, really: mental, medical, emotional, and financial. And it's a balance of all of those.
Okay. All right. And so before we take our first break, we basically kind of painted a good picture of what you do.
I think so.
And what your need is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to find out
what the state's trying to do to fix that.
What the state is trying to do to fix that. You are listening to KCNR 1460, Free Fire Media, Shasta Redding. We're going to take a moment to thank our advertisers, play a couple of commercials for you, probably some great music if I know Bob, and we'll return with We the People Talk Radio.
Is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without Christ. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you
Welcome back to We the People Talk Radio. You are joining Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin, our sound engineer, Rhonda and Jim, who are providing a greatly needed service in our community, helping our seniors with their in-home care. And I think we all have somebody in our lives, or we have, where we understand the need for their services. And we'll talk more about, in detail, what you guys do and how you help and give a well-rounded demonstration of that at the end. But you want to get right into the legislation that's going to impact what you do.
Sure. There are actually two bills. One of them is in suspense, but will be picked back up when the legislature reconvenes in January. One of them did die, but we fully expect that the bill will either be reintroduced as the same number or a new bill, but it'll be the same thing.
Yeah, and they'll disguise it and send it back.
Well disguised.
Yeah. And I think they do that.
They do. and we can talk about the legislative process a little later in the show, which is quite interesting. But
yeah, that was fun talking about that out on the sidewalk while we're waiting to come in.
It's interesting and scary both.
Yeah.
But the first bill, the one that died, but we fully expect that it'll be reintroduced again after the first of the year, was AB 889, written by Tom Ammiano out of San Francisco. And while on the surface of the bill it appears to be reasonable in some regards, it's way up out in left field on other areas. We
tell us what that is.
Sure. From our perspective in our industry, we're exempt from paying overtime. And the reason for that is not to take advantage of caregivers. It's actually so that we can provide continuity of care and provide a reasonable cost of our services. I'll give you an example. We have a client who has pretty advanced dementia. We take care of her 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. Her family works. So if under this legislation, we pay basically have two caregivers that take care of her. One works 4 days a week, one works 3 days a week, 10 hours a day. So we have basically one full-time employee and another person who is pretty close to full-time getting 30 hours a week. This legislation would require that we pay overtime in order to either not charge the client more. They're already paying a significant amount of money every month for care. We would have to then put in four caregivers. So we take a full-time position, we cut it to 20 hours a week, so she has to go find a part-time job somewhere else to make ends meet. And we take the 30-hour position, and we cut it to 15 hours. And she has the same issue. But what's really a problem is it is going to be extremely confusing for the client, the person with dementia, to understand why somebody is leaving in the middle of the day and somebody else is taking over. And usually that winds up causing agitation or frustration, but typically agitation. So she'll get upset. And she won't understand it. She'll be upset and angry. And when her family gets home from work, the family's now going to have to contend with somebody who's agitated.
Because I would imagine it's pretty tough to develop a close relationship with someone who has Alzheimer's, and I'm sure that that person really counts on that relationship once it's cemented.
Yeah, what ends up happening, they don't know who the person is, but they know that they're familiar, and they know that they're they have a good feeling about them. So in addition to the bonding that takes place, and with four people, eventually some of that bonding would come back, but it's the confusion about why there's a change in the middle of the day that would cause it. And our caregivers, to be honest with you, like 10 and 12-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. They get a full work weekend in 3 or 4 days.
Right. So this legislation would not benefit anyone.
No, and the legislation goes well beyond just our industry. And again, it's targeting the individuals who are abused by private relationships, and you can put it into law, and they're going to ignore the law, and they're going to continue to do it. So as an example, and they put into the law a lot of things that make it more difficult for us to operate and more expensive. One of them under this law was the presumption of employer negligence for workers' compensation insurance. Now, somebody has to tell me what is inherently dangerous about a senior's home. That kind of risk is for high-risk jobs, police officers, firemen, people who do things that are dangerous and the workplace has some danger involved. Cleaning house for a senior and helping them go to the bathroom is going to cause some kind of a real problem.
And grocery shopping and cooking.
And grocery shopping and cooking and all of the basic things around the house. It's kind of nuts. Also, this law covers actually any household employee. So it doesn't just mean caregivers. It means, and Doug LaMalfa wrote a press release on this that got quite a bit of traction. Mm-hmm. Babysitters would be included.
Yeah, this is the babysitter law.
This is the babysitter law. So if you go out to a movie with your husband or your wife and you hire a babysitter, under this legislation, first you're required to carry workers' compensation insurance. Go try to buy that, folks. I do it. Yeah. It's very expensive.
Been there.
Okay, and then the second is after, and I think he got there's a little bit of a mix-up on the number of hours, but after 3 hours of service, the babysitter would be entitled to a break. So the question is
do they get to leave?
Well, that's the question.
How do you define the break?
Yeah, so in other words, so the babysitter can go outside and leave your kids unsupervised, or you get to come home in the middle of your movie and take care of them, or hire a babysitter for 15 minutes. The other one that is absolutely ridiculous.
And that doesn't even cover the paperwork.
That doesn't cover the paperwork. And then another piece of the part of the legislation requires that your kitchen in your home be available to be used by your staff or your caregiver or your babysitter or your gardener. So, for example, if I have somebody clear the poison oak in my backyard, and they, even if they're working for an agency and they work more than 4 hours, I have to allow them to come into my house and cook their meal using my utensils in my kitchen.
Oh, that's not cool. Well, then you know what you're going to have to do. You can't hire anybody to clear your poison. No, you're just going to have to use goats.
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Well,
but that's ridiculous.
Well, my guess is there'll be legislation protecting
we'll
the goats coming out.
More than likely.
Yeah. Too.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's kind of interesting because if you think about it, one of the things that they advise that you do as a homeowner, if you have people coming in and providing services, you don't give them free rein in your house.
No.
You don't know that somebody couldn't come back later.
Well, you know, the simple thing is they can bring a bag lunch and eat a sandwich just like everybody else does. Sorry. But
I admit it. When I was 12 and I was babysitting, I used to have free reign of their kitchen and eat their food, but I was 12.
Well, and I think that in some cases it makes sense in our industry it happens because we're preparing food for the client. So, but it takes it to the extreme when you include every conceivable home type provider, whether it be a landscaper or a maid or a chef or a caregiver or, you know, whatever. Anybody's working on your property falls under this legislation. So,
And so the result of this is that most people would not be able to handle the paperwork involved or wouldn't be willing to.
Well, it'll go underground.
Yeah,
and so,
totally.
And
so it never works.
Yeah, well, and it actually, in one of the effects on our industry, because we do a live-in caregiving arrangement, and we pay actually a flat fee. What we do is we take the value of room and board, and we add it to what we would be paying the caregiver, subtract it from what we'd be paying to the caregiver, because she gets that as a benefit. And then they live full-time in the house. And under this legislation, the first 8 hours would be regular pay. The second 4 hours would be time and a half, and the next the rest of the shift would be at double time. Now, there's a provision for 8 hours worth of sleep, but if they're interrupted at all during that period, there's a $50 fine, plus you have to pay them the double time.
A $50 fine if their sleep is interrupted?
Yeah. And so,
if they get up to go to the bathroom? So,
yeah.
$50.
Right. Well, $50 plus that shift is now paid at double time.
Oh, my gosh.
So we calculated that the cost of this legislation, the cost of in-home or live-in caregiving would rise to between $200,000 and $400,000 a year. Most people can't afford it. And that's going to drive the business underground, and the state's going to lose money. Mm-hmm. I calculated there are roughly 200,000 caregivers. I mean, we got 2 minutes. Okay. Sorry about that.
Bob's holding up the sign.
And, you know, being the guest, I don't know. I'm not supposed to say anything about
it. That's all right. You say whatever you want.
But
our home is your home.
Okay. But what would happen is it's going to...
Says Carl.
Yeah. It's going to drive all of the live-in caregiving business underground.
Yeah.
So I kind of did a study based upon the volume that we at Senior Helpers do, kind of averaged it out, and there's 1,500 agencies statewide that do this. And I figured that the cost of the state of California in the term of lost income tax from the agencies, lost income tax from the caregiver because they will not be reporting this as income, and lost payroll taxes would be $71 million a year. So we're going to pass a law that they can't enforce, and it's going to drive the business underground, which is where the abuse occurs, and we're going to lose money at a time we can't afford to lose any money.
Yeah.
So, you know...
But look at everything that happens in our government, state and federal. Some things are good, but there's so much ludicrousy to so many of these things, and it always ends up losing money.
Well, it not only loses money, and it some of it's an intangible loss.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're running business out of the state of California, and we're hurting the community that needs it the most.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do is have abuse.
There'll be more
abuse. And who's going to...
Less money, more abuse. Yeah, great fix.
Yeah, and that means that we have to spend money we don't have to grow the staff at Adult Protective Services because there'll be more of it.
So basically they're making a good thing bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shocking. So this bill did not make it through, correct?
It did not make it through. We fully expect it will be reintroduced sometime after the first of the year.
Okay. And you'll keep us posted, though.
We'll keep you posted. We need people to write into their legislators when this happens and tell them this is a bad thing.
And we're really good for that. I guarantee you, one of the things that the Tea Party does is gather signatures, gather people, and knock on a lot of doors and make a lot of phone calls. So.
Well, after the break, we'll talk about the other bill because we will need the help right after the first deal of that.
So we are listening to We the People Radio, KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding. We're going to thank our advertisers. We'll be back. Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a given thing. What a terrible thing to lose.
Hey, welcome back to We the People Talk Radio. Give us a call. The number is 530-605-4567. We're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. Check out our media page. Everything you need to know about today's guests and archived shows is on that page, thanks to Robert. So back to Jim and Robin. I don't want to, like, blabber on here. I'm going to let you guys cut right next to the next bill.
Well, the next bill is SB 411, and that one has been turned into what they call a two-year bill. I didn't know anything about our legislature until I started fighting
so
these.
So what is a two-year bill?
It means it moves over to the next session. So it has to be passed in this remaining two-year cycle, and then after that, everybody's reelected, and it starts all over again.
Okay. So it has a term life.
It does. Most bills happen in the first session. Some of them, because they get carried over, they call them two-year bills, meaning they get not reintroduced, they pick up where they left off. So I'm assuming, I don't know the specifics, but I believe what this bill will do is pick back up in appropriations, which is where it left off, in assembly appropriations. It's a Senate bill. It's already passed the Senate. And it went through the health, then human services, and then appropriations. And in appropriations, they negotiated some changes to the bill, which is good. The bill would provide oversight for our industry through, initially it was through the Department of Public Health. We were able to lobby that and get it changed to Department of Social Services, where it needs to be. That's Department of Social Services provides oversight for residential care facilities for the elderly, RCFEs, or assisted living. We do exactly what an RCFE does, except we do it in the senior's home. So it makes sense that it's under that purview, under the Department of Social Services. There were some other things that were in it that were taken out. Accreditation, which makes no sense. It's a very costly procedure, and it really is appropriate for specific medical-related providers. And, you know, we don't need to be accredited to know how to make the bed the right way, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, you got to make sure you fold those corners just right.
Exactly. And we haven't
been... So you can bounce a dime.
And we haven't been hit with the fitted sheet thing like the...
Yeah, from the motels?
Yeah. So we'll get into stupid legislation later, I guess.
Yeah, that's the second half of the show.
Yeah.
Stupid legislation.
Yeah.
No, we need a two-hour show for that.
Yeah, we need four.
We'll dedicate a month.
There you go. But anyway, there are still two parts of this bill that we oppose and we need the public's help with.
Okay, so tell us.
Okay, the first one is under this legislation, caregivers would be required to be certified by the state of California. We don't feel that certification process is necessary. Community care licensing, which is a division of Department of Social Services that oversees RCFEs, provides the RCFE to provide 8 hours worth of training, and it's a checklist type training. Mm-hmm. You will go over A, B, C, and D.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that's sufficient for our industry as well. Just have us provide training for the caregiver, certify that we or not certify, I hate to use that word, but
yeah,
note that we trained the caregiver. It's in the file, so when we get audited by the state, we can prove that we trained our caregivers. To add a costly certification program to the state of California makes no sense at all right now. We have no money, so who's going to do this?
And you know, the thing is there's so many industries now where you have to be certified to do things. I mean, I think that the state has this goal that most occupations will be run through them.
Well, if we want our state to run our lives, I guess, you know,
yeah,
continue to vote for those legislators that feel that way.
So what's the cost of that certification?
You know, we don't know yet.
Okay.
That's just part of the problem.
Is that part of one of those bills that you have to pass and then read?
That's
find out what's in it?
Here's what happens with this particular piece of the legislation. It gets going to get turned over to the Department of Social Services to come up with the certification process, and then they will come up with the cost, and then they will pass it along. The initial bill was written so that the employer had to pay for the certification process. So you got to wonder how many law firms paid for their lawyers'
mm-hmm.
law school. Probably none. So why are we paying for our caregivers' training? And the problem we have in our industry is that the life cycle of a client, which is probably the wrong word to use, but is roughly around 8 months. So a lot of these positions are temporary. So they work for me for 8 months or 6 months or 3 weeks or whatever, and then the client's needs change, and they move on, and so they lose the assignment, and they go to work for Rhonda.
Okay, because Rhonda's is a little more in-depth.
Well, no, it's the same thing. They, in other words, Rhonda's got a client now that needs some help, and I don't have another one to assign.
Gotcha.
It's all based on client need.
Yeah.
So they come and go. And
so a lot of what they're providing these clients is transitional.
Yeah, basically what I'm saying is we share caregivers. When a caregiver works for me for a while and that assignment dries up for whatever reason, they're registered with the other agencies in town, and the first person that calls them and says, I've got work for you, is where they're going to go.
Okay, got it.
So
they're not employees that are on the books 40 hours a week.
No.
Full-time.
No, the example I gave before of the two ladies
like
that work...
like a temp agency.
Yeah,
okay.
We've got people that work for three or four of our clients. We've got people that work 6, 8, 10 hours a week. We have people that work 40 hours a week. And sometimes it's 40 hours for one client. Sometimes it might be 40 hours for two or three.
Right. So, and they could be working with one client for several months, you know, 24-hour live-in or 10-hour days like Jim was talking about. And then that something happens with that client. They no longer can be at home for whatever reason, or they pass away or something. And now all of a sudden, that mother that's feeding her kids from that income has none.
She's out of work.
So she has to go do something.
So she does register with all the agencies in town so that she's just got overlapping employment.
Right. And one of the things we discussed, both Rhonda and I have discussed it, and I've discussed it with the other agencies in town, if I have to pay for training for a caregiver and the assignment lasts 3 weeks, I'm losing money.
So each time that caregiver goes to a different agency, that agency has to pay for certificate?
No, the first one.
Okay.
So what we're trying to wrestle with as a community of agencies that serve the same customer, how is it that I can structure my business where I'm not paying for training for all of the other agencies in town?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's and again, we feel that the certification process isn't necessary. Now, there's another, really, in my estimation, a diabolical part of this bill, and it's related to the certification process. Department of Social Services will be required under this measure to maintain a public website, and on that website, they will post the name of the caregiver, the certification number of the caregiver, and the agency that she works for. We were successful in removing from the legislation the contact information, meaning her name, her address and phone number.
And the reason behind this was?
You're going to have to ask the people that wrote the legislation. I can't figure it out. It's a huge invasion of privacy. So I have a question for every legislator that's considering this bill. And it's a simple one. Would you, as a legislator, like to have your grandmother, your mother, your wife, your daughter, your granddaughter, your sister, or your niece be required to post their name on a public website with an identification number, whether it be their employee number, the last four of their social, and where they work? So if they vote for this bill, I'm wondering if they would like the same thing posted for their loved ones. I have a couple of caregivers that are hiding from a previous relationship.
Sure.
And I got to tell you, they would quit, move out of state.
Gee, could that be the point?
Yeah. Well, I think the point is something else, but...
show.
Another show. But I think it's important that we not allow the legislator to invade our personal lives this deeply. So the people that are listening, I'm passionate about this. I have an adult daughter. My wife worked full-time. And I would not want them to have to post their name on a public website and where they work. I just don't understand it.
I'm really kind of reaching here, trying to figure out what the reasoning behind that is.
I don't know. George Orwell is here.
Wow.
1984 has arrived.
So this one then, how much time do we have?
We need to jump on it right now. The legislature reconvenes after the first of the year. I believe it's going to be still heard in appropriations. I've got the list of all of the committee members here, and I'll leave it with you, and you can post it on your website. Jim Nielsen, who is here locally, is on that committee. He understands the bill and is opposed to it. But unfortunately, the remainder of the committee doesn't necessarily take that same stand. So we've got it here. What we need to do is we need the people that are hearing this show throughout the state of California to do two things. Write their legislator, both their senator and their assemblyman, and tell them they absolutely oppose this portion of the bill. And the second would be to write to each of the people on the appropriations committee that they oppose the bill. And I would suggest don't email them. Our state has this really cool system. If your email address, if your email address is outside of their area, it goes into the trash.
Sure.
So they never hear it.
Yeah.
So what I would suggest you do is fax them.
You've got fax numbers there?
I've got phone numbers. I can provide you with the fax numbers.
Yeah, if you do have those, you can shoot us
an email. I've got them back in my office. I can get those to you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we'll get that information out.
I have to go on record saying I don't oppose oversight. I think to a certain degree it's a good thing. It will get rid of the bad apples.
But you can't legislate human behavior.
No.
100%.
No, you can't.
It just can't happen.
And honestly, you know, Rhonda's team, my team, the others in town, quite frankly, we all do the right thing. We don't really need it. But I understand that there are those out there that don't, and we do have to protect our senior community, and that's fine. So let's do that. But let's do it in a reasonable way that doesn't infringe upon everybody else's rights.
And we're kind of back to a lot of legislation being about a minority but affecting the majority in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you have a small minority that abuse. And so what we're doing is we're taking everybody that doesn't and punishing them for it.
Absolutely.
And the cost is going to be out into the community to our elderly people.
And they won't be able to afford the care. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of women aren't going to resign themselves to putting all their public information on the website, or the private information. So they may find another line of work.
They will.
Get harder to find home care helpers.
It's hard enough to find home care caregivers now as it is. It takes a certain personality to do it, and they're not necessarily easy to find. And if we run them off, it's just going to make it that much more difficult.
In the end, it hurts the seniors.
It does.
It does, and they'll go to private care.
Where the abuse happens.
The employees, the caregivers, they'll become private caregivers and work under the table because they have to.
And even though they're not bad people, it still leaves the senior at risk. Again, we go back to that workers' compensation issue. Privately working, falls and gets hurt, the senior has to pay for her care.
Right.
So who's won?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And on that note, as always, positive here at We the People Talk Radio. We're going to thank our advertisers, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Well, the games we play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean, while they while away the hours. In their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers, in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da 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 da.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair. Cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touched. But maybe showers remind me of psycho humor. That's why I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Who's playing tricks on me?
So how many in the room feel like the state is always watching them? Raise their hands. We are listening to We the People Talk Radio, and you can't see us, but we're all raising our hands. We are chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. Give us a call at 605-4567. We're with Jim and Robin. They're in the home health care industry.
That's correct.
Working with our seniors, and you, Jim, off air, you were telling me about the bills and who really wrote them.
Well, both of them, but in particular, SB 411 was written at the time it was an employee of Senator Price, who now, that employee has now moved over across the street, I believe it is, and works for SEIU.
Ooh, Shocking.
And it was kind of disappointing during the hearing process. The bill was heard first in Assembly Health, and then went to the Assembly Human Services, and then to Appropriations. And the way the process works is the author of the bill stands up, that would be Senator Price, and talks about his bill to the committee members. And then there's some statements made on, you know, for and against, and they go around the room. But what happens after the statements for and against, then the assembly members ask questions of the author about his, in this case, his bill. And unfortunately, most, if not all, of the questions had to be deferred to the SEIU representative sitting next to him so that they could answer the question about the bill because he couldn't.
Because they really wrote it.
Well, I think the problem that I have is, you know, SEIU has interests, and that's fine. You know, we do too. They may not be in sync, but that's okay. That's part of the wonderful nature of the country that we live in. My problem is the author of the bill ought to know what is in the bill. And if the author of the bill doesn't know what's in the bill, then the author of the bill shouldn't be the author of the bill.
Yeah, very good point.
I mean, my problem is that if you as a legislator are going to stand up and put something out as law that governs the people of the state of California, because that's what this is all about, here we go, we the people, then that legislator ought to have the people's interests at heart and not some special interest group. And it's okay if those two, you know, coincide, but that author ought to understand the bill inside out and backwards, because that author is interjecting that to the California citizenry. And if they don't understand the bill, it's kind of like, you know, Nancy Pelosi, hold up the bill. We got to pass this thing to see what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's wrong with the legislative process.
Has Price been challenged on that?
Well, I don't know if he was or he wasn't. It appeared that he might have been in appropriations, but that's just conjecture on my part. So I can't really say one way or the other. I just found it embarrassing for the state of California and our legislator that it had to happen this way. And so,
yeah.
And the process in itself, like I said earlier in the show, I've never really been involved in this before other than to vote.
And you know, we're all kind of new to the political scene, but it basically has been a necessity.
Well, it has, but you know what I would suggest to the people that are listening to the show? If you ever get a chance, go down to the state capitol, find out when hearings are going to occur, and it doesn't really matter which committee you're listening to. Sit down and just witness what goes on. It is crazy. And then some of the bills that are passed. I think that when I was at Appropriations waiting for SB 411 to be heard, there were, I think, roughly 800 bills being heard that day. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that nobody can do due diligence to 800 bills in one day. Can't happen.
No.
And so part of it is already preset. They know what they're going to do. Certain bills are going to be voted through to the floor to be voted on. Other bills are going to be voted no. And others are going to be voted into what they call the suspense file, which is, this is where the smoke-filled room still comes back into politics. When a bill goes into suspense, it stays there for, I believe it's 9 days, and during those 9 days, the author of the bill negotiates with the opposition of the bill to rewrite the bill or amend the bill in a way that would pass. Then it comes back out to appropriations. They do not no longer have any public comment, and they either pass or suspend the bill, or in this case, like with SB 411, it remained in suspense, and they made it a 2-year bill and then passed it on. With 889, it died in that suspense file because nobody listened to it. It's a good way for a legislator to allow a bill to die without having to vote no on it so that they don't have to go on public record.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to tweak their public voting record to make it look like something it's not.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, quite frankly, if you're going to be elected as a legislator, then you ought to stand up and vote your thoughts. And if the community and at large that voted you in doesn't like it, then they can vote you back out again. But to hide behind the suspense file, which was really put into place by Jim Nielsen, and we had a conversation about that. And really the bill, that suspense process was for expensive bills early in legislative process to be suspended until they get a chance to see how we're spending against budget to see whether or not we can afford to do this or not. Now it's been perverted in a way that it allows the legislators to let something die without having to let the special interest groups know that they did, that they voted no on it.
There's a lot of CYA going on there.
A lot of it.
So what else is coming down the pike?
You know, I don't know other than these two bills. Obviously, okay. You know, SB 411, we need people's help for the reasons we stated before. And we'll let you know when AB 889 rears its ugly head again, and because it will.
And when we come back from our five-minute break, we'll talk more about your industry and some of the people that you're helping and ways that the community can help. And in case they want to know more about what you're doing on a legislative basis, where can people reach you?
Well, for me, you can call me at my office, which is phone number is 530-223-5939, or stop by. We're at 2885 Churn Creek, Suite B. We're kind of buried back in the back.
You're actually near Senator LaMalfa's office.
Across the hall from Senator LaMalfa's office, yeah. Makes it kind of nice.
And Rhonda, where's Interim?
Interim is at 2608 Victor Avenue across from Nicolette Glass. That's okay. Where our non-medical private duty site is. And then we also have healthcare and hospice on Executive Way.
Okay.
And our phone number there is 224-4600.
Okay. And you're easy to get a hold of there?
Definitely.
Okay. Well, when we come back from our break, let's talk a little bit more about your thoughts on the future of senior care, home care, with or without these bills.
Sure.
And if you see some things in Obamacare that might be affecting what you do.
It'll put us out of business, but
let's talk about that when we come back. You are listening to We the People Talk Radio. We've got a five-minute break. Great time to grab a cup of coffee, do what you need to do, get settled in, come back for our second hour. Give us a call when you come back at 605-4567. We're going to thank our advertisers, and we'll be right back.
And Elizabeth, we want the listeners to be sure to stay tuned through the news because we've got a special, very appropriate song coming up on the other side of the break to get our second hour underway. So we'll be back with more here at, that's not your headphones, that's somebody else's. Having some feedback issues here this morning, here at AM 1460, KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding, and we'll be back with more. We'll be back with more right after the news at the top of the hour here at AM 1460, KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Talk Radio. Hey, sorry about all the squealing before. We were having headphone technical difficulties. If we're not pulling them out of the sockets or breaking them like I normally do, then they're squealing. But I think we've got our technical difficulties fixed.
We got it under control.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Obamacare and its impact on not only the senior care industry, but also some other private small businesses in the local area. But before we do that, Bob, the musical magician, has a song that he'd like to share that's going to segue right into that.
Okay, just a little bit of background here. Thank you, Elizabeth. Ray Stevens, who was one of the great novelty song artists of all time, you remember his biggest song back in the 70s, The Streak. You want a little of that?
Yep. No, we were. I remember.
The Streak this morning.
Boogie day, boogie day.
There it goes.
Boogie day, boogie day.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
We remember. That's when that was popular.
Yes.
Everybody here remembers that.
Yeah, now we don't streak anymore. We send pictures over cell phones, but that's another program. But anyway, in about the last 10 years or so, Ray Stevens, who really doesn't care what people think, he's not politically correct, and he's pretty much devoted himself to political causes and song parodies along those lines. Anyway, last year, before the or right after the initial vote on Obamacare, it was about January of last year, he came out with this song, and coincidentally, it's entitled "We the People," the same as our program here, but we wanted to share the song with you in its entirety this morning because we thought it was so appropriate for the topic. Ray Stevens.
It's gonna be a big heartbreaker. Grandma needs a new pacemaker. And the doctor says, I realize she's ill. But there's talk of legislation on all our medication, and maybe all we can do is put her on a pain pill. Oh, me. Hey, Congress, you vote Obamacare, we'll vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote, let this pass, you'll be out on your... People have awakened. And to put it in words you might understand, if you had the common sense that God gave a billy goat, you'd no doubt notice that your constituents, the electorate, that's us voters, are on to your pork barrel special interest tax and spend scam. Or to put it more succinctly, Beck and Limbaugh, what you got in mind for Grandma? We found this O'Reilly fella on Fox. We're kind of like Joe the plumber, and when we crunch the numbers, it all adds up to voting you out at the ballot box. You vote Obamacare, we're gonna vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote to let this pass, you're gonna be out on your... 'Cause we the people have awakened, and to put it mildly, we're harboring feelings of extreme alienation due to copious amounts of horse manure that have been shoveled out of the White House and the Capitol building, and we sense that we are being royally defecated upon. Yeah, we're getting the impression that you think we are not relevant to these proceedings and dismissing our input into the situation. And please tell Nancy Pelosi we're gonna do the hokey-pokey, put the right ones in, pull the left ones out. Vote you out of there. We the people have awakened to your tricks. You vote to let this pass, you're gonna be out on your... Well, we the people have awakened, and you might want to start looking for another line of work. How about the medical profession? Yeah, they're going to need everybody they can get that'll put up with the red tape and the pay cut. Hey, why don't you kill every last job, tax every last penny, and infringe on every last God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Because let me tell you, ain't nobody happy with you. We the people have awakened, and it occurs to me that you might really like it down in Venezuela.
Good old Ray Stevens. Doesn't mince words, does he? Thanks, Bob.
But it makes sense.
Hey, so I wanted to just remind everybody, SB 411 looks like it's going to be about $50 million a year cost to the state, and we know we have no money, so we don't know where that's going to come from. and $71 million to the state of California with AB 889. So AB 889, SB 411, stay posted, stay tuned. We'll keep you updated on what's going on with those bills. And
just one correction on the 71 million. That's actually lost revenue to the state. That doesn't even talk about the cost.
The actual cost.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to
quantify that.
Yeah. It's how do you enforce something that is unenforceable?
Yeah, exactly.
So
we'll keep our eyes posted on that, and you'll keep us aware, too.
Yes.
So when we were on break, you were talking about a little gathering that took place a couple of weeks ago in the Board of Supervisors chambers, where we had local officials that wanted to hear from small business owners from the area on how they think certain things are going to impact them. And you gave some great illustrations.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about what we talked about here with the two bills that are in place. For me, currently, the things that impact my business that are kind of state-driven are the high cost of workers' compensation insurance and certainly the high cost of unemployment compensation.
And, you know, state comp, that hasn't worked, has it?
No.
Aren't they laying people off left and right?
Yeah.
They're losing money.
Well, we could do a whole show on the abuse that happens in the workers' comp. I would call it an industry because it is. And we pay for it. And if your audience doesn't think that they pay for it, they pay for it in the price of goods and services. I have to pass my cost along to my customers, as does Rhonda. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, when our rates go up, our workers' comp rates go up, I'm going to have to raise my rates to my clients. And some people, that's going to mean the difference between having no care at all or being able to afford what we're providing them. But at that hearing, and it was a great hearing, I would have liked to have seen it maybe publicized a little more. There were eight of us that presented to the dais. It was kind of headed by Dan Logue, Assemblymember Logue out of Chico, who will be our assembly member once this realignment takes place, unless it's challenged. So we lose Jim Nielsen and we gain Dan Logue, and he brought with him Shannon Grove, who's an assembly member out of Bakersfield. But I think one of the presentations, because you ask about Obamacare, Bruce Dean, who's one of the co-founders of Black Bear Diner, presented, and I'm not going to present for him here, but I think you might want to talk to him about the show. He made a point, and with Obamacare, basically the way the restaurant industry, as I understand it, the way he presented it works is that the profit margin for a restaurant is measured in the profit per employee. It takes a lot of employees to run a restaurant, and that's about $1,800 a year.
So $1,800 a year per employee is really not that much.
No, it's not. And he can't afford to provide health care to his people, and the fine, if he doesn't, is $2,000 a year. So it doesn't take.
So he goes in the hole.
Well,
per employee,
or you go out of business, one of the two. So I don't know, you know, the health of his business and what that means. So I think you might want to invite him on. You know, most of us don't really know what Obamacare is going to do to us. You know, with the measurement, a lot of our people are part time, but it takes 50 full time equivalents in order to be there, where you have to provide health care. And I don't know how I could provide health care at an affordable level to part-time transient people. It's not that I don't want them to have health care, don't get me wrong, but for me to have to pay for it, or for me to have to pay a portion of it that makes it affordable for them, which is, I think, the way the bill is written, means that I might have to close my doors. It's as simple as that.
And do you see the same thing, Rhonda?
Yes, and the bottom line is that the clients that we serve out in the community, they won't have very many choices anymore, and they'll be having to make other decisions to no longer be able to stay in their home because the cost rises so much.
So, in a nutshell, federal regulation, state regulation, over-regulation can actually create monopolies.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And it puts the small businessman out of work, out of business. That's really what is going to happen in this country. I don't think anybody understands it. Corporations that do business worldwide, they'll factor that in, and it'll happen. It'll work. The mom and pop, the small people like us that start with nothing and build a business, are going to have to shut their doors because they can't afford it. It's as simple as that.
So a little bit about some of the services that you guys provide that you think will be the most impacted.
Well, I think, honestly, if these pieces of legislation continue, we're going to have to raise our rates, which means that a portion of the people we take care of can no longer afford it. And their options are going to be limited because there's no help beyond, I think Rhonda alluded to what, you know, how we get paid. It's private pay, long-term care insurance, or aid in attendance, which is a small benefit. Those same vehicles are, for payment are the same vehicles of payment that people need to use for assisted living. So there's no real care other than those that are on Medi-Cal will qualify for placement in a skilled facility, and with SNF, skilled nursing facility, that usually hold a few beds open for Medi-Cal patients. And again, this is the ludicrous nature of our legislature. But what happens is when you have a Medi-Cal patient who no longer can stay at home, they will place him into a skilled facility that, you know, the cost is roughly $6,000 to $8,000 a month, as opposed to assisted living where the cost is $3,000 to $4,000 a month. So the long and the short of it is, if they wanted to spend the money they're spending, they could take care of twice the number of people if they do it in the right place.
Now, how is long-term health care affected in Obamacare? I read recently that they made some changes to that because, you know, it wasn't penciling out.
Yeah, I don't know on that one for sure. I know that there was a provision where people could provide for their own long-term care insurance, and you could collect on it after 5 years, I believe it was. My recommendation to people is don't let the government do it for you. Do it yourself.
Yeah.
If you're not a senior, you can't afford it if you're a senior. If you're not a senior, you've got parents that need care, you better be thinking about your care, and you ought to be talking to an insurance agent about long-term care protection for yourself, because we're all going to need it.
Yeah. And Medicare and Medi-Cal do not cover your services, correct?
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Medicare only covers medically related issues, so we're non-medical. And Medi-Cal only services those low-income people. So unless you have less than $2,000 in the bank, you don't qualify for Medi-Cal. So there are a lot of people right now who are kind of in between that they're in that awful position of not having enough money to provide care for themselves, but they make too much money to get assistance from the state.
More than $2,000 in the bank. My brother is in a similar situation, so I'm familiar with that.
Right. It's horrible.
So, you know, they kind of get you coming and going.
They do. I don't know that the answer is more state aid.
No.
I think the answer is figure out a way to make insurance, whether it be health insurance or long-term care insurance, affordable. Mm-hmm. And make it available for people. But I think we all owe it to ourselves to understand we have to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not our government's job to take care of us. It's our job to take care of us.
Well, and, you know, that's how this country was built, and communities took care of each other, families took care of each other, the churches took care of their communities.
There are certain people in the community that absolutely need help, and as a society, we should help them. But there's a great number that ought to be able to do it themselves.
Yeah, and as a way of life, they shouldn't be on government assistance.
No.
It's really unsustainable. It's killing us all.
Well, I don't
can't
know how,
afford it.
Yeah, I don't know how we would pay for Obamacare anyway. But we're so far out of control at this point, I don't know that it really matters.
Well, and I think as this thing unfolds, we're going to find out the hard way exactly how we can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even think they know.
I don't think they do either. I think what we focus on, Rhonda and I do, and our staff is I tend to put that on the back burner, and let's take care of people.
Yeah, it's about the community out there.
Yeah. I mean, we can all be active, you know, in those things on a personal level, but my focus, business focus, is to try to figure out how to help people.
Absolutely. And when we come back, let's talk about some of your folks that you take care of.
Sure.
Exactly the kinds of things that you provide. I think that there is sometimes confusion between medically related services and non-medical services.
Absolutely.
And we'll give you the difference on that when we return. We the People Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
There's a difference in
If
Your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags. It's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR,
the home of Free Fire Media.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
Welcome back to We the People Talk Radio. We're talking about our folks, our parents, our grandparents, all those that we love that are near and dear to our hearts that might need some extra care. And we're here with Jim and Rhonda, and they are senior home care helpers. And there's a big difference between in-home medical care and in-home services. And, you know, when we were talking out on the sidewalk before we came in this morning to start the show, I broke a bone in my foot a couple of weeks ago. And so for the first week, I'm on crutches. And I very quickly realized that you need some upper body strength to be able to haul yourself around on crutches. And then we have a two-story house. Try getting up the stairs and then getting back down when you're on crutches, even when you're not. I can still drive, and my husband's around to help.
What if you couldn't drive?
I know, and it didn't take me long to figure out if I were 65, 70, 75, 80 years old, when bones break, what would I do?
Well, that's one of the things that we provide. We provide transportation assistance for people, so we get them out, take them to the grocery store. Sometimes it goes beyond that. We have clients that have macular degeneration, so they can't even read the cans. So we have to help. We talk to them. You know, we go to, would you like beans? Would you like, you know, bacon? Would you like whatever? And we can read the label for them, et cetera. But part of what we do is provide, they lose independence. I think I mentioned out on the street we were talking, just take your keys away. Even I said for 30 days. Rhonda said just a day.
Yeah, I think just a day.
Just a day.
We'll probably make the point.
Take the keys. You can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. Go to the grocery store. You know, if you need something for the yard, you're not going to get it today. And think of what that does to the independence of a senior citizen. So when they lose their right to drive, so to speak, or their ability to drive, it's a huge impact on their sense of independence. And what we try to do in our industry is to help bridge that gap and provide them a way to live at home independently and with dignity.
And don't they oftentimes have a lot of pride and they don't want to impose on family and neighbors and friends?
Absolutely. That's probably the hardest part of the sell.
And they get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they become homebound and they start closing out the world because they can no longer.
And I would assume
drive.
That without that independence and that ability to go about a normal day, their health deteriorates faster.
Oh, yeah. Well, they become non-ambulatory, so they mm-hmm. sit all day, so they mm-hmm. don't get the exercise that they should. But there's that whole emotional drain that
yeah.
has an impact on the physical, and that is they're depressed, like Rhonda said. Mm-hmm. They crawl into a hole. And they don't want to ask for help. And in many cases, I've been on what we call an assessment, which is we go out and assess the situation and determine what level of care that they need and what would be appropriate for them, and then discuss with them what they can afford and so on and so forth. We'll be in a situation where they will not want help and they'll be fighting it. And their children have to fight the battle because they recognize that their parents are declining and they don't want them to. And the parents say, no, that's okay, I'll be okay. And they're not going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a really tough one.
But you're very skilled at playing the intermediary. I mean, you know what you're faced with going in as far as the resistance.
Yes and no.
In most cases, I think.
It depends.
Yeah.
I could also be looked at as the used car salesman who's trying to sell them a car.
Yeah. For the most part, you know, it takes a long time to gain their trust. to be able to, you know, reach them because they are so clouded in with whatever is going on in their life between them and their family, and they're just overwhelmed with it. And a lot of times, there are times when you have to come in to a home, you do the assessment, and you sort of feel like you're the one making the decisions for them. But once they're able to see that what you're doing is actually for their good, because that's why we're in business. We're in business to help people.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things I could have done when I had a career change in my early 50s and had to make some choices and decided to do this. And I have to tell you that I've never looked back. I mean, it's wonderful to run a business where when you go to sleep at night, you know that you've helped people.
Well, you know you've Absolutely. Made somebody's day better.
We yeah. have. We have. And I think I know that it's certainly for this marketplace and in Chico, where I operate, and over in Eureka, where we operate, our competitors all have that same vision. We're all in it. Yes, we're running a business. Yes, it's for profit. But in reality, what we want to do is take care of people.
Sure,
and,
right.
And we kind of have a mantra, so to speak, in our office that we're going to find help for people even if they can't afford our services. So what we try to do is point them in the right direction, whether it be through in-home supportive services, Medi-Cal, whether it be Golden Umbrella or down at Chico Passages that might be able to provide them with some additional care. We get a lot of calls for strange things. I got a call one time for, do you change fluorescent light bulbs in the kitchen ceiling fixture? And the answer to that question is no, but I wound up finding a handyman that helped them out, and they got it taken care of. Yeah. So maybe they'll need our care someday. Hopefully they won't. Hopefully yeah. they'll be fine. But
a lot of times you're just out there helping them find the resources to support them in their home. That's what it's about. You know, and one of the, when Jim mentioned Passages, there's Mountain Caregivers here in Reading too, on South Street, and they provide respite assistance for a primary caregiver.
Oh.
They're a nonprofit organization, and they're not income-based.
That's
so
nice.
That's something that people need to know about them. They're a resource center, and so they also do education and support groups.
Okay. So when the family members need a little bit of a break.
Absolutely.
Well, the family members very often don't even know that we exist. I mean, that's the biggest challenge
now,
we have.
Why is that?
You know, I don't know. Maybe we're not doing a good enough job of promoting our industry.
Now, are you referred by any other agencies that don't do what you do? Do they refer you out?
Sure. We network with hospitals, rehab centers, you know, whoever out there that might touch the senior community. But I go back to when my wife and I took care of my mother-in-law. She has Alzheimer's. And she moved in with us. We had to, because it was unsafe for her to live at home. Fortunately, at the time we did, I owned this business and we could take care of her. We had to go through that about 8 years ago when we first moved her up to Reading. She had a fall and she had compression fracture to her back. And so she wasn't suffering from dementia at the time, but she physically limited, and we couldn't find anybody to take care of her. I think it was our industry was really just beginning in this marketplace, and I didn't know that it was out there until we actually, when I had that career change, we started looking at things to do and found the Senior Helpers franchise and decided to go with it. So part of it is people just don't know that our kind of care exists. I've been at dinners with people, and they ask what I do, and I explain it to them, and they kind of say, wow, my wife and I have been wrestling about what we're going to do with mom or dad, and we don't know. We didn't even know this existed. Tell me more about it. So maybe as an industry, we need to provide better training, so to speak, for the community, because it really is the children, the adult children of the senior community that are going to be the ones that are going to step in and say, I need to do something to help my mom or my dad.
Right, and I think, you know, as Jim said, when people don't know what we do, the private duty in-home care that can come to their home and help keep their loved one there independently, they think they have to move them out. Their first thought is that, you know, we don't have any support, so our option is to move her mom and dad into an assisted living.
Or imagine being the elderly person living in your home for 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
50 or 60 in some cases.
And then having to leave it. When that's your whole sense of security.
Yes, and that's really what we do.
That part of your life.
Yeah. My mother and I provided 24-hour live-in care to my grandfather, who walked. He lived to be 99, independent in his home, walking with a four-pronged cane in Burney. They didn't have the health care and the hospice available then. They didn't have the health care. And I wish I knew then what I know now about being able to support somebody in their home. But we were able to do that on our own. But now, you know, there are so many resources out there for people, and they just need to realize that they're there and not be afraid to ask for the help.
Well, it's something you can't deny, because, you know, like I mentioned earlier on, the baby boomer generation is the biggest segment of our population, and I think I'm at the tail end of it.
Well, I'm in the middle of it, and 10,000 people turn 65 years old every day in this country.
Yeah. Wow. Now, see, I love statistics.
And that number 4 years ago when I first opened Senior Helpers was 6,500.
Wow.
So yeah, it kind of tells you where we're going.
It does.
And,
it does.
And
how needed your services are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I opened the business because I'm going to need me someday.
Yeah, you said that outside. I love that. And I would imagine that the folks that do ultimately let you into their lives to help them become very attached to their caregivers, I would think.
They do. They come attached to caregivers. We hope they become attached to us. We're the lifeline very often.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the caregivers that are out there, they're the eyes and the ears of what's going on with that family, and then they can bring it back into the office, and we can help support that family and that caregiver, the client that's there, and really make an impact in their life.
So they do everything from taking them out grocery shopping, hair appointments, doctor appointments, laundry, cooking, yard work.
Yard work, we kind of
That's somebody else. Okay.
And we don't fix the car, or we don't repair the roof.
But you can help them get that done.
One of our offices with Interim, we recently had a sales and managers meeting, and one of our offices, they had actually a caregiver that was going on a cruise with their client.
Oh.
And how wonderful is that?
Yeah.
The client doesn't have to give up that type of independence.
Yeah, exactly.
And the caregiver was able to go and be with that client and help them with all their
needs.
And
not everybody has their children around.
Well, and that's another point. We probably have to talk about it after the break, but we take care of people whose children live in other areas. We have a person we take care of here in town. His daughter lives in Texas. We're the lifeline.
Yeah, you're right.
We actually, when Paradise was evacuated a couple of years ago, we were taking care of a couple 24/7, and the nearest living relative was in Riverside.
Yeah,
so we got them out of town. They both had dementia. Mm-hmm. We got them in a hotel room, told them they were on vacation. They thought they were having a great time. On Monday, they were tired. They wanted to go home, and they lifted the restriction, opened up the Skyway. We took them home.
And they never knew any
difference. There you go.
They never knew any difference.
How wonderful is that?
Yeah, and nobody had to come from Riverside to come rescue them. We took care of it for them.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to take a break to thank our advertisers. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We'll be right back.
I want a new drug. One the wall made me sick. One the wall made me crash my car and make me feel free.
Join the conversation in our chat room.
KCNR1460.com.
Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die. When all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that the spring is in the air. Pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons. Just seasons out of time.
Welcome back. Let's make golden years really truly golden for our seniors, and a lot of us aren't that far away. We know how time flies. So what you folks provide as a service is, like I said off the air, is probably the greatest need that our country has right now.
Yes, with the aging population, the fact that we're all living longer, absolutely.
Bob, you were saying that you're kind of facing the same situation. I think everybody can relate to this.
Well,
A lot of folks in our age group are, of course, and in my particular case, my mother-in-law is down in Brentwood in the Bay Area near Antioch. She's in an assisted living home there, and it's taking every bit of her pension. She's a retired teacher, and it's taking every bit of her pension to keep her there in a studio apartment. My wife and I go down to see her every month or so, and help her with her medication and that sort of thing. But cost is an issue there, because if they raise the rates again there, she's not going to have enough to stay there, and then we're going to have to look at other arrangements. So it's tough.
So if you brought her up here, you might be able to use the assistance of Rhonda or Jim.
Yeah, and there's another issue with that, at least in my mother-in-law's case, and I'm sure she's not the only one. She's on Kaiser coverage,
she can move up here.
There's no Kaiser up here. Yeah, that would in itself be problematic.
Yeah. So if you had the assistance of folks like Rhonda or Jim with your mom.
Yeah, we had the same issue with my mother-in-law. She came from the Bay Area and had Kaiser, and unfortunately, when they found out she was up here, they dropped her, and we had to get a little bit more expensive insurance, but we got her insurance, got her covered.
So that brings me to a question. If you have someone living in a skilled nursing facility or an assisted living facility, do your services enter into the picture ever?
Sure.
In those situations?
Sure.
Yes, at times there may be a resident there that's having some increased dementia, or they've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and they may need to have a caregiver stay with them for longer lengths of time. Generally speaking, like in an assisted living, their caregivers there can be with somebody for maybe 45 minutes. Anything more than that, if there's somebody that's a fall risk, they've recently fractured a hip, they're a fall risk, and they have some dementia. So they're forgetting that they cannot just get up and do whatever, and they're not going to pull the cord in an assisted living and call for care staff.
In some cases, we'll go into an assisted living facility, particularly some of the larger ones, and the family likes the facility. They do good work, but they want a little bit more than what they're getting. So we've got a couple of clients where we take them out on an outing. We pick them up, and they go shopping, or they go to the park, or we take them to the senior center. And that's not while the assisted living facility has a van and they have things for them to do, their loved ones want them to do some specific things that
one-on-one,
and they get great service out of the facility. The facility likes the fact that we're coming in because we could supplement what they can't do.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's like supplemental insurance.
It's supporting each other. To be more successful with that resident.
And in some cases, family members, like for example, you all have hospice, but we work with hospice. Mm-hmm. There may be cases where the family does not want their loved one to be alone,
right.
We've gone into skilled nursing facilities where we may sit in the room to be with them. We really can't do much.
Yeah.
Might read to them, might converse with them, or sometimes we're just there because their loved ones don't want them to be alone. Particularly at the end of life, where they just don't want them to pass alone, and the family can't be there with them at all times.
So you probably deal with a lot of folks whose family is just nowhere near.
No. We do. I mean, we've got, we're the lifeline. I think I was telling you on break about the Paradise thing. We had, we took care of a couple. She was a fragile diabetic and moderate dementia. He was wheelchair bound and mild dementia. And when the fires happened a couple of years ago and they got evacuated, we were there because we were providing 24-hour care. Their nearest living relative was in Riverside. So we got them off the hill. We found them a hotel room. I think I was telling them, we told them they were on vacation.
And they thought they were.
They thought they were, and they liked it. And then they got tired of vacation on Monday morning, and they really wanted to go home, and that's when they opened the Skyway. And so we said, all right,
so you
vacation's over, and we're going to go home.
Right.
And
they never knew any different.
They knew they went on vacation. No stress. But for the family, nobody had to come up from Riverside. We have a client where we take care of, and the daughter lives in Texas. We're the lifeline.
So, do you provide on-call services? Okay, so let's say the folks in Riverside, could they have called you up in an emergency situation, having already established a contract, a relationship, whatever, and said, this is the deal, there's a fire, we need to get my folks out?
Yes.
Absolutely.
If you're not providing daily care?
That's correct.
Yeah, we have a number of clients that we have on contract, so to speak, that we provide respite care for. Mm-hmm. So, as an example, we have one client, the senior helpers franchise down in Los Gatos, or San Jose area, takes care of them. And then when they come up to their place in Lakehead, then we get the phone call that they're coming up this weekend, and can we provide a caregiver? And we send the caregiver out to their cabin in Lakehead. So, yes. It's very often people will contract us only for a specific job for a specific period of time.
That's nice. It's like you have an a la carte menu.
It's so important, too, because the huge relief that gives a family mm-hmm. member knowing that we're there just by that, just a phone call away,
thinking about the family, the extended family, I would imagine that with you being in the lives of their loved one, you alleviate their guilt.
Not only their guilt, but
their sense of guilt.
We also provide some relief and comfort knowing that they've got somebody to take care of the loved one. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it is, and I'm sure Ron is the same way, we drum roll, please.
I did what I do every week. I'm going to break a piece of equipment if it kills me.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Thank you. So I'm holding...
So anyway,
I'm holding the microphone.
Yeah, it was too bad we didn't have a visual for the audience. But anyway,
we're going to get
moments like this. We wish we had a webcam.
Yeah,
but we're paying. We're going to charge extra for that because it's usually pretty funny.
Yeah,
but Aaron, anyway. Really missing out.
Yeah. We can we take a break anytime you want. If you want to want me to fix that,
I'll hold it.
What I was saying is that in reality. We provide relief, and I look at it as we're not just taking care of the senior, we're taking care of the whole family.
Absolutely. It is all about the family. When Bob was talking about his family in Bay Area, his mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It brought to my thought the fact that Interim just recently added geriatric care management, which is a senior care manager, where if you have, let's say the son is in Seattle and the daughter's in Los Angeles, there's a primary caregiver here helping mom and dad trying to sort through things, and there's a little bit of, what's going on with mom? You're not doing a good job, that kind of thing. The geriatric care manager can help be that middle person and help go with mom to the doctor's appointments and medication and help somebody like Bob if you were probably going to the Bay Area quite a bit. And it's difficult to help manage that from a distance.
Sure.
So when they have the support of an agency like Jim's, with senior helpers and ours, it makes all the difference in the world, that peace of mind.
That's really what we provide, is peace of mind for the family.
Well, the truth is that, you look at these older folks, they've spent their entire lives, they've gone to school, they've held jobs, they've raised their families, they've worked in their communities, they've volunteered, they've lived a full life. It should end on a high note.
And
it really should.
It should, and that's what we're here for, is to try to help people end on that high note.
And on that high note... I think we're going to take a break so Elizabeth can put the microphone back where it belongs. You are listening to KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding. Quick last thank you to our advertisers, and we'll be right back. Your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
And I love deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave
said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of We the People Talk Radio. Hey, before I go any further, just want to give you a reminder to tune into Sovereign Minds, 6 o'clock, KCNR 1460 with Mark Kent. And on Monday evening, please join the tea party. We will be meeting at 2570 South Bonneview Road, formerly the South Bonneview Baptist Church. Now it's Destiny Fellowship, and we're going to be talking about water issues in Siskiyou County. So we've got a lot going on. We want your help. We want you to join us. There's lots to do. Join in. So Jim and Rhonda, we've got about 5 minutes left. How do you want to wrap this up? And what can people do? You know, that's the biggest thing about all the shows that we have and all the topics that we cover. Everyone wants to know, what can I do?
Well, I would say first and foremost, get involved in your senior loved one's life.
Yeah.
It's all too easy for us to get involved with raising our kids or our grandchildren. We work, we have things we want to do, and we tend to forget that there's a loved one out there that might be a bit depressed. They've gone through their whole life taking care of you, their children, and all of a sudden they're kind of on their own, particularly when there's either the loss of their spouse or their spouse is lost due to Alzheimer's or dementia. And we were talking a little bit about that on the break. When that happens, just think about it. The person that they married is no longer the same person.
You know, my parents have been married 53, 54 years. They met when they were 14 and 16, and they've never known anyone else. I mean, they have been in each other's lives for almost their entire lives. And I can't even fathom what it would be like.
Well, my father was diagnosed with, we believe it's vascular dementia, earlier this week. And it was pretty sudden, brought on by a stroke-related issue. But, you know, I had to have a conversation with my mother, who's 85. My father's 94. And I had to explain to her that the man she knows, the man she knew, is gone. And that's very difficult for her and for them. They've been married well over 60 years. And she now has to face life completely differently than she did before. And we, as her children and her grandchildren, also need to reach out and help her because she needs it. And all too often, we get wrapped up in our own lives. We're the sandwich generation. We're sandwiched between taking care of our children and our grandchildren and our parents, but that's what we have to do. So first and foremost, my advice to anybody before you start looking for us or care is to look within your own heart and see what you can do.
Now, because there are several agencies in this area that provide this service, what's the quickest way to access the different services that are available?
Call me.
All right.
And then call Rhonda if I'm busy. No, I'm sorry.
And I want to remind everybody that your contact information for both of you is on the media page created by Robert at wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah, in all honesty, the best way to do it, and Rhonda will talk about this as well, get involved in your parents, again, like I said before, your parents, but talk to the healthcare providers, talk to the hospital, talk to social workers, find out who's out there that can help them. It's not just us. We have a number of our competitors are here in town, and they all do a wonderful job. So there's nobody that I wouldn't recommend. And I think that, but the way to find us is to talk with healthcare professionals about what their parents' needs are or their loved ones' needs are first, so you can find the appropriate place to take care of those needs, whether it be private duty or, in Rhonda's case, they've got the home health side, so there may be skilled care that needs to come to the home.
Right. You know, a lot of times when we do the assessments with a client, like I said, we help them find other resources, and we may not be the best for that client and their family to help support them in their home. And that's okay, because the reason why we're in business is to help them find the best possible resources. And if it's us for a period of time until they have to do something else, then that's great. And if it's not, then, you know, it's about bringing in what they need. And
so you guys
they can
are
go
really
on,
flexible.
Right. And they can go on websites, too, and look up home care in the area in Reading for that, too, and it would come up.
Yeah. And we've done, I've gone out on assessments where it's quite obvious that, that what we could provide is not going to be enough. And it's not going to provide a safe environment for that senior to live in. And we have to tell the family, as much as you want to keep them at home, it's time to begin to look at another option. So it's not all about making the sale. It's about doing what's right for the caregiver. We had a client in Fortuna we took care of. I think it was 12 hours a day. The caregiver came in one morning. The smoke was down to about, you know, her chest level. The lady had put a can of beans on the stove and forgotten about it. And I called the son and I said, you know, we can fix the stove. We just turn the circuit breaker off. But here's the deal. She didn't know that the smoke represented a danger. So she would not have gotten out of the house if there had been a fire, and that meant it was unsafe for her to be home alone. So he couldn't afford 24-hour care, and so that's fine. We had to walk away from that client, but we needed to, and we told him, go find an assisted living facility. And, and he put his mom in a place in Rio Del, and she's happy, and they're happy, and everybody's safe.
That's great.
So it's not all about selling services.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Right. So we were just recently in a career fair with Institute of Technology, and getting back to the cost that this, how this, these bills would affect the community. One of the areas was that with in-home care, we work with a lot of students promoting their jobs, you know, for them, and work around their schooling.
So this would really be a good thing for somebody that needs part-time, flexible work.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for coming back. You'll keep us posted on those bills. Reading Tea Party tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 2570 South Bonneview Road. Sovereign Minds, 6 o'clock, KCNR 1460. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Let's roll, America. There's a job.